Hi, it's Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Passionate Living. It's such a joy being with you tonight. I'm actually calling you straight from Lake Arrowhead tonight, and I am in the mountains. You can hear my little munchkin dogs in the background, and here enjoying this incredible, incredible, incredible forestry energy, the lake and the light. And it's amazing. I remember once David Letterman had a show on, and he was saying that an hour from Los Angeles, you can be in any environment in the world. You can be at the lake, you can be in the desert, you can be skiing, you can be at the beach, that you can wake up and choose your day. And the only thing an hour from 52nd Street, New York, by car was 54th Street. And I always love that. Absolutely love that. And to think that just an hour and a half from Los Angeles, there are snow-capped mountains and there are beautiful lakes. And it is just the most beautiful forestry and greenery and energetic feel that you could possibly imagine. And that we have the opportunity to shift ourselves from one space to another. And we actually all have that opportunity to do that. It doesn't matter what country you live, what city you live in, what state you live in, through meditation, through practice, through remote viewing, there is a way in which we can shift in mere seconds our energetic field from one place to another. We all have the ability to be in paradise. We all have the ability to live with oxygenation, with that open feeling, with the freedom, with the glory, with the peacefulness and the tranquility that a place like Lake Arrowhead brings. Each of us carries that opportunity inside ourselves. And so tonight's guest is absolutely perfect because tonight we are talking with Presence. And Presence is a dear friend of mine, and if you've been following her shows for the past few years, you've had the opportunity to listen to many of her interviews as we talk about transformation, as we talk about meditation, as we talk about mediumship, as we talk about energetics, secret singing, and all sorts of realms of consciousness. And I'm really blessed that she's here up in Lake Arrowhead and that we have the opportunity to bring her tonight. And this is so much fun to have a live show this evening. Presence, is so great to have you here.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. It's so lovely to be in such a gorgeous space.
Wow. It's amazing because you've been on many of my shows. And we always have so much fun when you're on the shows. And people have been so riveted by your story and by your information. And many people, and you, this might be you, as you're listening to the show, have had something happen in your life that all of a sudden you saw something and you said, that's who I want to become. That's what I want to be. There was an example. Somebody was Miss America. You want to be Miss America. They're a doctor. You want to be a doctor. You want to follow in your parents' footsteps. Or maybe something happened that you had a spiritual epiphany or awakening. You had a car accident. You had something happen in your life. You had a near-death experience. And all of a sudden you came back and you started to believe in your life had shifted and was completely different. And then there are those that walk on the planet who from day one had a spiritual awakening. They were enlightened children. They were enlightened beings. And Presence is one of these. And I remember one of the things that really moved me from my interview is that your parents were really conscious parents, and not many people in today's world. You know, when you talk about your mom and you talk about your father and some of his healing properties. So can you talk a little bit about what it was like to be a conscious child?
Well, it's a mixture. because, it, you know, when you have parents, I mean, my mother didn't start out that way. And partially it was circumstantial because she got very, very ill and she was given 6 months to live. My father, who was a naturopath, had actually diagnosed her 15 years before she showed signs of an illness. But at that time, Western medicine said it was psychosomatic. And that search for healing herself, and because they had told her she would be crippled within, you know, a few months, and that it would be a very painful death. I mean, it's funny that people would actually say something like that to anybody, and I don't know why that serves. So she decided to. You know, Western medicine had failed her, so she decided to reach out into alternative means to heal herself. And in that process, discovered more and more things. And the first thing she ended up doing is we went to like a self-sustained community in Austria. But, you know, I have to say, there was trial and error. You know, with some of the things that she did, there were aspects of it that were amazing and healing and wonderful. And I learned an enormous amount as a child being in that process. And then there were sometimes aspects that were not so healthy because, you know, people were trying new things and were on the edge of things. So it was a mixed bag sometimes. But growing up, being exposed to all that, and because my mom told me that from an early age, like from age, you know, about, she remembered me being 2 years old and talking about galaxies and universes.
Really?
And things that, yeah, that she says, like, you know, things that she said the two-year-old wouldn't even know anything about. So there was things that I guess I was in touch with at an early age and opened her eyes to as well. So it was kind of a confirmation of my spirit and then of her journey in what she sought out. And it that was an amazing experience. My father was also, and I think he was kind of a, you know, because he was a Catholic priest, so there was that, which is very conservative and has very had very conservative
views. And he
was
a Catholic priest who was a homeopath.
Yeah, and then he was a homeopathic doctor, so he was a very interesting, in many ways, really a dichotomy, because he was studying to be a doctor because he was going to do a mission in Madagascar in Africa, and he'd taken all the medical training to become a Western doctor, and then when he was in Madagascar building a mission, a Catholic mission, he saw what the medicine men were doing, and he was so impressed that he said, "Well, Western medicine doesn't touch that." So then he became one of the first homeopathists in Germany, and from there kind of explored all these alternative means. And he would diagnose with a pendulum, and it would take him 5 minutes to diagnose somebody that would take sometimes months or years for other people to, you know, like he diagnosed my mother, he diagnosed her best friend 15 or 20 years before she ever showed signs.
That's unbelievable. So a couple questions now. And one, I want to go away from you, and then I want to come back from you. So we have in today's world what's known as indigo children, mm-hmm. all these enlightened mm-hmm. children coming in. And a lot of the parents are super fearful.
Super what?
Fearful. Of these children that have powers, that have knowing, that mm-hmm. have a sense mm-hmm. and a knowledge right. that's way beyond this world or this realm. Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for parents that have indigo children on how to parent a child of consciousness?
Well, that's a great question. I actually studied early child development as part of my psychology degree, and my favorite version of it was something called RIE, which stands for Resource for Infant Educators, and they're online. The founder of it, Magda Gerber, was involved with a woman named Dr. Emmy Pickler, who had an orphanage in Hungary. And that orphanage turned out the most well-adjusted adults of any orphanage. It was a documentary done over 25 years, kind of showing different orphanages and how people turned out as adults. And this particular orphanage turned out amazing adults. And it was not by anything other than the care they received. And what I found so powerful about it, especially while Magda Gerber was teaching it, she's no longer alive, but she wrote a book called Dear Parent, which I recommend to every parent. Respectable and respectful approach to child rearing, which is really allowing the child to unfold in its own journey rather than you know, like she was one of those, some of her philosophies were like from age 0 to 3 particularly, but even after that, like even how you diaper a child was the consciousness you use when you diaper a child, not to rush through the process, but to speak to the child, to look at the child and say, I'm going to turn you over now and wait for a moment before you do it. And then, you know, really make that a beautiful, loving interaction so that the child has a positive interaction with its own body and feels that from an early age. I mean, the diapering process was like really important. It was bringing consciousness to all aspects of simple everyday life things. And I think one of those things is being fully 100% present with a child rather than sort of distracted and paying half attention, because children, when they get 100% of the attention, even 5% of the time, will feel satisfied. And I've noticed it when I would work with parents and children. And when they get, 85% of the attention, but it's only 85% of, 85% of the attention, but even 85 to 95% of the time, they never feel satisfied because it's not 100%. So I think there is something in just how we mindfully are with children so that they can unfold to be who they are, rather than trying to mold them one way or the other because of our beliefs. Because a lot of our beliefs are not, they're not even our beliefs. They're what we're taught to believe and we kind of go along with. So when you have an indigo child, that's the first thing that you'll be confronted by. Whoa, what are my beliefs and are they really mine? Because here's something speaking, something, a language I don't even understand. And how do you make room for that language unless you know how to just create a space around a child and be conscious and be present without interfering and still be there and still. So, I mean, it's a, big conversation really, but.
I love it. I mean, I absolutely love it. And I know we're going to go to a break in a couple of minutes, but your life path has been so extraordinary. Even when you talk about, when I went to school for child development, and, here I'm a psychic and I'm a medium and I'm a healer and I have the vibration of the planet and the sacred singing, and coming from the parenting that you came from, which is such a unique set of parents. Forget you being conscious being, and forget the fact that you can walk between veils and between universes and all of the magical gifts that you bestow and that you share with the world. But even just the fact that you came from a father who was a priest and having these constraints of these religious constraints, but the belief of the infinite and the beyond, and what that must be like for you to straddle these worlds must be so absolutely extraordinary. So I'd love to dive into that when we return. It's such a joy having you here. I always love speaking with you, and I'm always so enlightened and so intoxicated by this story. I mean, truly, I always just fall in deeper and deeper and deeper each and every time. So more we return here with presence on Passionate Living. And when we return, I'd love to talk about this remarkable story. Remind me, I want to talk about the guest process too, because that's something that has always piqued my interest and something I've always been titillated by.
Oh, I should have brought him.
Is that a good word?
I should have brought him.
Titillated.
Titillated.
Titillated is an excellent word. And it's interesting as we, jump in and we talk about consciousness. For those of you that are in the audience right now, I wish you could see through my eyes and see these incredible trees and this incredible view, this incredible energy. And from wherever you are, if you can just take a deep breath and allow yourself to flow and allow yourself to go to wherever that place is for you of the extraordinary, that place for you where the explanation point just fills your heart with so much beauty and so much grace and so much glory and so much knowingness and so much oneness and so much peace that you know that you could be there forever and beyond. And it's a place where every thought becomes a light and conscious and a vision and something meant to be matched, to be taken out into the world and shared in such a glorious way. And I love that we're talking with presence, because her childhood has allowed us to take steps down the pathway and a road to a beautiful life and a beautiful friendship. I'm so glad that we've connected on this planet, and it's always just such a gift. I absolutely love that. So when we return, we will dive deep into your world and enjoy the beauty of the childhood and the steps. And as we're just jumping in, can you just give us a smidgen of what Gus is. Gus is
a teddy bear.
He's a teddy bear who I wish made his way in a channel to Lake Arrowhead. So
if you reminded me, I would have brought him.
Oh, well, next time we look forward to, but we'll certainly talk about him some more with presence when we return here on Passionate Living. Hi, it's Nicole Brandon. Welcome back to Passionate Life. We're talking with presence tonight, and this is actually one of my favorite shows because I love talking about consciousness. I love talking about energy, and I love talking about the journey to one's path to enlightenment and one's path to glorification, one's path to oneness. And it's interesting. I was told once that each of us are like a lighthouse, and that every enlightened being, that we share the light onto all of the boats, not just to like the big cruisers, but to the little fishing boats and the boats that are lost, and that we all have the ability to share our light, and that if there was just one person in every household that was an enlightened being that shed that light to the next house and that shed that light to the next house, what an incredibly different world it would be. Mm-hmm. And if you've been following my shows over the past few years, you might have heard me at some point talk about my nursery school journey. And when I was in nursery school, I would never, ever, 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 with 100 more ever, evers, ever, ever take a nap. I would never sleep. And all the other kids, when they were sleeping, not only would I not take a nap, but I wanted to wake up all the sleeping children so they play with me, and they had to put me in the yard. And what I finally realized a couple years ago, presence is laughing, but it's true, but what I finally realized a couple years ago was that at 4 years old, I knew exactly what I wanted to do, which is to wake up all the sleeping people so they play with me. Mm-hmm. And it's just now I have a platform to do it. Mm-hmm. And now I travel the world as a speaker and as an author, and I'm constantly saying to people, wake up, come play with me. Mm-hmm. And it's so much fun to meet somebody whose journey has been so similar to mine, whose childhood they were also wanting to wake up all the sleeping people so they would play with them, and who now has the ability to touch people's lives at such a deep level. And it's just so incredible. And so talk to me about some of the work you do, because I know we're talking, we're teasing about, you know, Gus being a teddy bear, but actually he's a very enlightened teddy bear. And you do mediumship for people. You do conscious evolutionary work for people. You counsel people at a high level. You do sacred singing and take people to a different vibration within themselves and on the planet. And as you talk about that, you didn't know as a child, you know, that it was kind of confusing. Your dad was a priest and your mom had all this different information. Your father is a homeopath. And so all of this was kind of inside of you, but sort of balled up in a way. And I remember you talking about in high school that you had some pain in high school and your mom gave you tools to release the pain and you started sharing that with people. And so is that really when the path began for your ability to share your knowingness?
I would say probably it started earlier, because I think like what I was sharing earlier when I was 2 years old, I think it started then, except then I shared it with just my mother. And I apparently somewhat outside of that. And then when I was four, because of something that happened in my life, some of that got shut down. But I also died, and because of that, had an access to other, you know, outside of this realm.
You died when you were little? You never told me that.
No, I didn't really go into details about that. And I didn't realize that that's what had happened. Because it didn't put it together until fairly recently. But I think that I it seems like I always had that, and I did it with different ways, sometimes through a conversation, sometimes through music. When I was little, I would play the piano, and I would try to play, I would try to tune into people's souls and play their soul notes, basically. And I had some amazing experiences with that. And then I stopped playing the piano and I did something else, and I kind of jumped around in a lot of different areas. Then I did it with comedy for a while, performance. And then, like, you know, it's been a real interesting journey. Like, I think I kind of went from more of an outward in the world thing to an inward, more of an inward journey, like with, you know, working with people who are in that stage of crossing over. And then I often come to bedside when someone's in that process, you know, really celebrating their journey. Like, some of them don't look at it that way, but I always feel like, wow, you're at that place. Like, this is a really sacred space you're entering into, you know. And you get to go home, you know, and there's beauty with that too. So, and that's a much more private interaction rather than a worldly interaction. So I don't know that I would say it started at any particular point. I think as far as like being known as a quote unquote healer was started with my mom showing me how to make pain go away and then helping people make pain go away. And I didn't really think anything of that. That was when I was 12. I just knew that how to do it. And I didn't really think about it any other way than I didn't think of it as a healing ability. I didn't have that, those words for it. And then I think I was sort of fumbling my way through a lot of that. I got a lot of certifications, which really sort of affirmed just a lot of the things I was already doing and gave me permission to do them, I think, more than anything. Because a lot of times the way I've worked with people, whether it's in counseling or it's been healing work, has been intuitive. And sometimes as the people who get whatever results they get, I'm just as much in awe as they are. I don't feel that I did that to them. I feel like I'm more of a channel or a conduit than anything else.
That's so beautiful to think about yourself that way, a funnel of light and
yeah.
energy. And I love that as a little girl that you were trying to play the soul notes on the piano. I think yeah. that's absolutely so sweet. And, you know, you just touched on some of the hospice work or mm-hmm. being able to transition people. And I think that's so beautiful. And it's something we really don't talk about enough. Mm-hmm. People have so much fear mm-hmm. of death and dying. And I remember I took a class with the Writers Guild that was talking about comfort care mm-hmm. and the rights that somebody has when they're dying, like that you don't have to weigh dying people or mm-hmm. that liquid food is not food. If somebody wants a corned beef and cabbage sandwich mm-hmm. or something, you know, and it adds, you know, an hour mm-hmm. to the life or... And that the rights that a family has that they don't even realize, that you don't have to wake somebody up to give them medicine, that they're right. finally sleeping soundly, and all of these things that are so peaceful. And
that you can keep a body in the house, that you don't have to have them picked up, because there's a belief system that once, and it's true, once you call, they will pick up the body, but you don't have to call. You don't have to call. You have an indefinite amount of time with that body, so... There's a real power in putting a body on ice and letting people have a chance for completion that mm-hmm. people don't realize until they go through that process. If they're willing to face that, because some people never want to face that. And we went through that.
Right, we went through that recently. And it's interesting because, you know, the same way that there are stations or different positions that you talk about your ability to help transition people, and you have managed to help people be able to bridge between this world and that world and cross over in such a beautiful and graceful way. And I jump over and I'm like the greeting committee. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm on the other side mm-hmm. and I'm in the welcoming team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, and I'm always letting people know I'm there and I'm here because I'm an infinite being. And, you know, so I've always been doing my own hospice care, but mm-hmm. in a very different way because mm-hmm. I'm always over there, you know, preparing the party. Mm-hmm. And
I saw that
instead of doing the packing, you know, I'm the one in the new house, you know, making sure the electricity is on, everything is working. And so how did you start? Because we never even had that conversation working with the hospice care.
I started doing, I've become certified to work with veterans. That was my first, my first certification. And that's really what I wanted to do at the time. Interestingly enough, part of the reason I wanted to do that work is I think because I've died twice in my life, having a perspective of what death means is very different, and I recognize that many people are afraid of it. And I thought I might be able to offer some comfort to people who are, because I'm not. And I see it differently in some ways, maybe, than a lot of people. I'm not sure. That seemed to be the thing I realized as, and it just sort of happened. Like I seem to have shown up very often when people were in that transitional space or just before they did go into that. So that just sort of happened circumstantially. I think I was already doing the sacred singing, and someone asked me, would I do that at bedside? And then that got me onto that journey. And then I was working with a Tibetan Lama, and at the time he wanted me to take over the lineage, which is really rare for a Westerner, especially a woman, to be asked that. And he was really against me doing hospice work, so that's what kind of made me decide, I'm not going to work with you if that's something like that is against, that doesn't make sense to me. And then it just seemed like I was pulled into those areas. I ended up doing a few sessions with veterans and holding space for veterans at bedside. But a lot of times it was people who would ask me because their parent or their sister or their friend was passing. And then I have a friend who's a deaf midwife, and I took a training to become a deaf midwife. So that's sort of what got me into that more and more and more into that.
I've never heard that term, deaf midwife.
Yeah.
But what a beautiful idea.
It is. I mean, that's what it is.
To literally birth somebody.
It is that.
You know,
it's so similar.
This other world.
It's so similar to the birthing process. It's just, it goes the opposite direction, but it's almost like it's a very similar process. You know, when babies are born, they're in that luminal, very sensitive state. You know, everything to perceive light, sound, everything is very, very strong perception, and they have to be very gentle with that being because it's affected by all of that. Same when someone's in the process of dying, they become extremely sensitive and tender and pick up nuances that they don't before. They go in sacred space, and they usually let go of a lot of their earthly baggage and realize what's really important.
We all have this earthly baggage.
Yeah, in more ways than one.
Midwife.
Mm-hmm.
I love that concept. It's beautiful if you really think about it, that you can send somebody back and birth them
mm-hmm.
in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's just mystical and magical and so nurturing to me. It's almost like cocooning somebody. If you think about the caterpillar to the butterfly, mm-hmm. and then from that butterfly mm-hmm. to the next transition,
right.
How do we be able to then take that soaring flight
right.
into the infinite, into the beyond,
mm-hmm.
into the mastery of who we're meant to be? I think it's just...
And in a way, that's what we're, you know, in our ideal state, I think that's what we're doing for each other anyways, is being a midwife to each other. We can't make someone grow or can make them heal or can make, we can only midwife that process. We can be present for it. We can support that process. We can, you know, educate them on what their journey is going to be like or give them a taste of it by our own beingness of knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
But really, ultimately, everyone is on their own journey and they have to choose it for themselves and go through that process on their own.
Just magical.
Mm-hmm.
Well, more when we return, I'd love to talk about your near-death experiences
okay.
and coming back and just some of the processes that you're working with people now, which I just think are so extraordinary and an opportunity for people in themselves to dive deeper into their souls.
Mm-hmm.
And to take themselves to another conscious level. So more with presence when we return here on Passionate Living.
Oh, the stars are calling out your name. This world is shifting. It's about to change. Oh, don't you worry, little dear. There's so much love in the atmosphere.
Hi, it's Nicole Brandon. We are back on Passionate Living. What a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Sometimes things just move you, and I'm so blessed with BBS, and they're so extraordinary. And they're so gifted, and energetically they're always so aligned with all of the hosts and all of the speakers. And sometimes the music just makes me smile or laugh, and I'm overjoyed. And it's so great because then that energy can pour out onto you. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to share that, and that energy just flows. And that was really just such a perfect song. So thank you out there to our show's producers. You really just are so gifted. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful for you. And we're here with Presence, and we're talking about the beautiful blessings of consciousness and light. And you shared with me that you had died and come back. I didn't know that, because, you know, so often I talk about my car accident and my explosion. And speaking of which, not to do a promo, but doing a promo for Adna Markell's new book, Pivot, How to Change Your Life Around in One Moment. And he talks about me in his book. I just went to the book launch this past weekend, and oh my gosh, it was the most incredible book launch I've ever been to, because everybody in the room was conscious. Everybody in the room was enlightened. Everybody in the room, it was like a room full of light and joy and happiness and effervescence and glory and beauty and grace. And every single person I met was kinder, sweeter, happier, more successful than the person before. And Adna Markell, his beautiful wife, Randy, their children, the energy that they created there. And this book, I feel so blessed and honored to be interviewed for this book. And the way that they shared this story was really special in a different way that I've ever shared my story before. As I was reading, it was like I was reading about somebody other than myself, even though I know it was my story. And so I know what that's like to come back from the great beyond. And you and I have never had that conversation. I didn't realize. So tell me about your journey.
Well, the first one was actually, in some ways, it was trauma related. So I won't go into all the details of that. It happened because somebody was trying to keep me from screaming. And I couldn't breathe anymore and left the body. But what I realized, I went from suffering in the experience, you know, feeling trauma, to all of a sudden, like, complete freedom, and realizing, wow, if I'm not in the body, if I'm not in my body, it's a whole different, there's a whole different world out there. It's a totally different journey. It opens up, you know, universes and the first thing I saw was the room I was in, which I thought was, I was in a dark room where you could see nothing. And once I left my body, I saw the room, and it was nothing like what I perceived with my, what I perceived with my mind, I guess, because I just believed what I saw, what I didn't see really. I saw blackness, so I thought it's dark. And that was my belief system. And then the moment I left my body, I saw the reality of what really was. Mm. So that was an awakening or an understanding on a deep level, is that what I perceive may not be what's real.
Wow.
You know, because it's limited by my perception of being in the body. And then, of course, the journey into the light, and that whole process was, you know, feeling the connection that I had known since I was very little and had kind of had brought with me in some way, getting to go back to that unconditional love and that just extraordinary light and knowingness and call it the sparkle of existence, the more, you know, was just a really, it was so beautiful that it was, I think in a way it created a bit of a wing to go back to that when I did come back into a body, because I was brought back with one of those machines. Mm. And I think for a while after that, I think there was a longing to return to that, because I was like, oh, now I'm back in this defiant, you know, limited space. And then I actually tried to do it the second time it happened, and it was because of a suicide attempt. Mm. And I left my body because I tried to commit suicide. And I took 125 sleeping pills, and I slept 10 hours. And I don't, you know, it's amazing that I'm still here, really. I don't quite understand it, but because I've heard of lesser things people doing who are adults that seem to work out for them, but it didn't work out for me in that regard, not in my intention anyway, my conscious intention. But it was a different experience leaving my body when I made that choice to take myself out of it. It wasn't the same experience. I did eventually also travel towards the light, but at first there was great confusion and I didn't realize I'd even left my body. I was actually in the ambulance with my body and not realizing, it wasn't actually until years later that I realized what happened. I think I was talking to a friend who was an ambulance driver, and I was telling him, yeah, I was riding in the ambulance and they were working on somebody, and I was just looking out, and he said, what? You were doing what? I said, no, I was just sitting on the edge of the bench looking out, and it was going really fast, and I heard the sirens, and they're working on somebody behind me, and he goes, No, that doesn't happen. What? Then he asked me what happened, and I told him. And so I realized I was actually watching them working over my body.
Wow!
And they were working on me, and I wondered at the time why they weren't paying any attention to me. You know, why they weren't like they let me sit there, and nobody's looking at me or saying, you know, excuse me, we have to do this, or there's no interaction with me. And then I realized, oh, it's because they were working on my body, and I was outside of it, but I wasn't. And I don't know if it's because it was a suicide attempt, if that changes the consciousness, but it definitely was a much more confused state. And then in that case, I went through like a rainbow spiral. And as I cut closer to the light, it felt like emerging into that divine oneness of everything, you know. And I was looking forward to that. I was really it started to dissolve my whole consciousness of myself. And it's really hard to speak about because it's such a state that it's really hard to articulate. But and then there was something like, it looked like a golden band or something. And I thought it was tied to my ankle or somewhere down there. And that pulled me back into my body finally. But those were my two experiences.
That's amazing. Well, I'm so glad you're here. And it's interesting because we were just talking about that. I just finished yesterday writing this book on suicide, mm-hmm. for somebody, and his journey also was in taking the pills,
mm-hmm.
and he was a prominent attorney, mm-hmm. and had taken all these pills and then called somebody for help, and they called the law office, and the law office, you know, had to come in and all of that, and the journey through that, and since his life, you know, his beautiful family, his beautiful kids, and everything he would have missed had he left, and that a remarkable journey, and it's so incredible when you can see from the outside, man, when you can see, I know when I was a kid, I was never in my body, and I used to dance, you know, and I won all these dance competitions, and I remember like being on the ceiling and watching myself dance, thinking, you're doing really well today. Like, I was so impressed with my dancing ability or with my gymnastics. It was almost like I was an audience for myself or an overseer of myself.
Yeah.
And now being able to jump between veils and help people in consciousness like you are, and the way that you're able to be a medium and bring in all this energy and light. And it's so beautiful because even though we look back and we say, oh my gosh, she almost died and traumatic things, actually it opened the gateway for this incredible understanding of this other world and this incredible enlightenment that you brought back with you that you now share and radiate with all these people that you meet and that you work with. And it's become this glorified gift that I can't imagine not being part of your journey and part of your life.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting. I had some of the more so-called traumatic experiences that ended up being some of the highlights of my life. Like another time I had one of those consciousness revealing things was when I was hitchhiking and I ended up in a really dangerous situation. And in the process of someone trying to rape me and kill me, basically, had an awakening of several things, like my human self and what I had gone through in my human body and the imprint that it left in my emotional, in the cells and all the emotions that were there. And then I had a choice point where I could use that energy aggressively and unleash it on this person who was trying to hurt me and hurt him, like really severely. And I knew he didn't stand a chance if I did. And I didn't make that choice. And in that moment of not making that choice, it was like the sky opened up and I saw the two of us making a contract and pre-embodiment. And it was done completely within love and joy. And he just said, I'm going to do this and you're going to do that. And we shook hands on it. And I knew I made a contract. I knew it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I was able to get myself out of that situation without hurting him, just using energy. But it was, and I also got to experience superhuman strength and things that I would have never accessed otherwise. I mean, it was an amazing experience. And I think because of that experience, it also helped me later on put into perspective some of the other things I went through. Because I thought, if I choose that, if that was a contract, then why would that not be true with everything in my life? No matter who, you know, how it plays out in this world.
Oh, incredible.
So it really had an impact on how I perceived the rest of my life. And I've heard, you know, I'm not one that takes on spiritual beliefs unless I experience them. I don't really tend to go, well, you know, I believe that we're all one. Unless I actually experience that, I don't like to give it verbiage because it's empty of any meaning because there's no connection with experience. But once I have an experience of something, then it's my belief. And I'm not saying this is true for everyone. I just know for me, that was true. And for me, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I made a contract for that.
Just amazing. It's extraordinary to think about our journey and our life and all the infinite possibilities and the truths when we look at them.
Mm-hmm.
The truths when we're able to say, there is a power great beyond. There is a consciousness mm-hmm. great beyond. There is a contract that we came in with mm-hmm. to do this. There is mm-hmm. a way that we can get out of a situation, no matter how horrific,
mm-hmm.
no matter how daunting, no matter how fierce that's coming at us, mm-hmm. no matter how traumatic.
Especially when we bring in consciousness.
Ease, with grace, mm-hmm. with light, with love,
mm-hmm.
with peace, mm-hmm. with understanding, with compassion, with mm-hmm. care. With all of these qualities that you're talking even about in the hospice work that you do
mm-hmm.
and being able to launch people to another world and to another consciousness. It's beautiful. It really is. And I know that we're coming up for our last break, but when we come back, I would love to talk about some of the work you're doing and some of the different methodologies and modalities that you use to be able to work with people and consciousness. It really, each and every one, singly by themselves, you say yes. This is a way of the light. This is a way of beautiful, beautiful opening in myself, a deepening in myself, a visioning in myself, and a way to re-remember
mm-hmm.
the why I'm here, a way to re-remember the gifts and the visions that I have to share with the planet and the world, a way to re-remember these are the people I want to connect with
mm-hmm.
on this planet, and that we're here to make a difference in a way that's never been made before. And I'm here for a divine purpose and a divine vision. And the fact that you hold the keys to helping people re-remember
mm-hmm.
and open those doors and those pathways and those windows to themselves and their souls is really such a gift. So more we return here mm-hmm. with Presence on Passionate Living.
A cigarette that bears a lipstick traces, an airline ticket to romantic
place. Hi, it's Nicole Brandon. We are back on Passionate Living with Presence, and we're talking about consciousness and mediumship. We're talking about experiences in which we both have left and come back with extraordinary enlightenment and understanding and divine vision that we now share with each other, with the world, with the planet, with all those we meet. And certainly I think that we both live in our hearts in such a deep and profound place and such a light place. Somebody wrote to me today and said that I was happiness personified.
Aww.
And I was like... It made me laugh to see it, but I thought how sweet that was, that that's how somebody, you know, was able to experience me as happiness personified.
Mm-hmm.
And now you do so much work with people, you know, and it's so funny because I look at the list of all the services, and this Saturday I'm going to have an opportunity to go to your sacred singing. Oh, and yes. Oh, and so quickly, I just want to do a shout out for people that are on the West Coast about the sacred singing. So can you talk about that for a second?
Yeah, it's coming up this Saturday in Reseda at a place called the ICODA Center. And I think it's i-coda, coada.org. I think that's their center. It stands for International Center of Centers of Divine Awakening.
Beautiful. So, and what is sacred singing?
And sacred singing is like a musical meditation. It's musical affirmations and healing chants, prayers set to music, repetitive. We sometimes do some Sanskrit, some Kirtan, but mostly we do affirmations, English affirmations, because I think there's a real power in singing something in your own language that's the language you speak in, and repeating those words. Like, you know, one of them is, I am remembering who I am. I'm remembering who you are. I'm remembering who we are. And, you know, I tend to, when I do this work, I don't say this usually at the sacred singing, so... But my intention is always to bring healing and blessings to people who come, so that they come away with something for themselves, and to access their higher nature, and to experience that positive energy vortex that brings you into a higher consciousness. Mm.
So. Awesome.
And we create it together, which is what's beautiful, because it's interactive.
It just sounds like so much fun. And I've seen pictures and the energy in the room. It is so enlightened. It's like you just see everybody just like they looks like they're dancing on clouds, and their faces are beaming, and their energy is lifted, and it's beautiful. And so as we're wrapping up and coming so close to the hour, tell people how they can find you to work with you.
Really, right now, only have a phone number. Mm-hmm. I am working on a website, but it's 310-859-5509. That's 310-859-5509. That's a 24/7 voicemail, so you can call it anytime. I never answer it, but I check messages there.
That's fantastic. And then the work that you're doing.
And then sacredsinging.la is the...
Sacredsinging.la.
Yeah. Right. Or dot, no,